The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" The angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born shall be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And with that, the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Tonight we rejoice over the feast day of the woman we love the most in the whole world. We rejoice at the beginning of our redemption, when God the Father, through what his Son would do on the cross about 47 years earlier in his eternity, applied that to Mary's soul so that she was conceived without any stain of original sin due to Adam and Eve's choice that we heard about in today's first reading. We mark tonight God's Advent in the middle of the Advent season. When Advent is looked at God, from God's perspective, not only did he start by all the messianic prophecy over the course of more than 1,000 years before Christ would be born in Bethlehem, but his immediate preparation for Christmas was in this woman's soul and in helping her throughout her earliest years always remain in communion with the Lord. We celebrate all of that tonight. But I've had the habit over my priesthood, so that it never gets routine, so that it's never just what I said last year, the year before, or what I prayed in previous years. I always ask, what's significant about this celebration, which makes it different than every other year? Last year, as you know, we began the Year of Mercy on December 8th. So it was a tremendous opportunity to look at Mary's Immaculate Conception in mercy. The year before, we were celebrating the year of consecrated life. We were able to ponder Mary as the model of all consecrated and religious men and women. 4 years ago, we had the year of faith. We were able to look at the Immaculate Conception in faith. 6 years ago, we had the year of the priesthood. Now Mary participated in her son's priesthood from her conception onward. Before that, the year of St. Paul. Before that, the year of the Eucharist. Before that, the year of the Holy Rosary. And we can go back and back. Everyone gives a little bit of a flavor to this infinitely angled diamond. What's unique about this year? Well, 5 months and 5 days from today, the whole church will celebrate the centenary of Mary's coming from heaven to Fatima, Portugal, to speak to those three little pastorinhos, the shepherd children, a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 7-year-old, Lucia, Francisco e Jacinta. And it was there that she revealed to them the solution to all of the problems that plagued the world. She showed them three visions. A vision of hell, which is real, and they saw suffering souls in hell. A figure of the wars of this century, World War I, which was ongoing, and the dawn of World War II, and all the destruction that would come to the world. And three, she showed him the extraordinary persecution that would come to the church, and even a bishop dressed in white being shot. It's happened on the 64th anniversary of her first apparition in St. Peter's Square, when Mehmet Aliaga shot John Paul II. She showed him all of that. And all of that flows from sin. Hell comes from sin. Communism comes from sin. The persecution of those who act in Jesus' name comes from opposition we call sin. In response to it all, she said that the solution was something really important for us to grasp. Now, if I were to ask you, what's the solution for all the sin in the world? What's the antidote to hell? Or to atheism? Or to the persecution of believers? We might come up with a lot of good answers. I hope you'd say, we should probably take Mass more seriously and come to Mass even every day if we can. You might say, confession and the forgiveness of sin, awesome answer. You might say, I got to get to know sacred scripture much better. This is the word of God, and I know the word of the New York Post more than I know God's holy word. You might say it's charity, becoming a good Samaritan, crossing the road, caring for the many that we see who need what we have far more than we need it. But that wasn't what Mary said. She said the solution to all of these ailments was consecration to her immaculate heart. Not just consecration to Mary, not just consecration to her heart, but consecration to the heart that was preserved free from all stain of original sin from the first moment of her existence. The heart in biblical mentality means the whole center of the person. And in Mary's heart, we see a heart that's pure. A heart that says yes to God. A heart that sees God in others. A heart that's truly loving. An abode of God's presence. Mary says we not only have to acknowledge her heart, but we have to entrust ourselves to that immaculate heart. This Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, it's an opportunity for us to focus much more on that. Otherwise, the last person out of the church tonight is the biggest fool. Because if we're coming here to honor Mary, and God permits her to come from heaven to earth to speak to us, and she says, this is what you must do, then if we haven't done it, and we're not living by it, then we're not really good sons and daughters, are we? So what does it mean when we celebrate consecration to Mary's Immaculate Heart? It means we prepare ourselves to give ourselves into Mary's own consecration in her Son to the Father, to God's plan. Back in 1996, St. John Paul II wrote a beautiful document about the consecrated life, what it means to live in a consecrated state. And he said that these words, of course, apply to religious and to those who are in consecrated communities in the church. But he says, insofar as we've all been consecrated by baptism to the Lord, this applies to each of us. He says, Mary shows us what consecration looks like from the first moment of her conception. And what do we see? He says, two essential things. The first, we see the primacy of God's initiative, God's action, in other words, today in the first reading. We see original sin by Adam and Eve. They distrusted God. So they did the one thing he said that they couldn't do. And that's when everything changed, and there was a terrible earthquake inside of them, within their relationship, and in their rapport with God. But right then, when God could have said, deal's off, all the promises are off, why didn't you trust me? Right then, God took the initiative to announce that he would eventually come to heal. You heard it tonight. I will put enmity between you and the woman. I'll put scorn, I'll put hatred. I'll put an infinite canyon between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, and we know where her offspring is. He'll strike at your head, and you will strike at his heel. God was announcing what the church calls the proto-evangelium, the first proclamation of the good news, that there would be this woman who would have nothing at all to do with the devil, and that from her offspring would come the one who would definitively defeat the devil. Totally God's initiative. We didn't deserve it. He just did it out of love. And that was just the beginning. Today, in the second reading, what does St. Paul say? St. Paul says that from before the foundation of the world, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens and chose us to be holy and immaculate before him. Any blessing that God could give, he is giving us. He hasn't held anything back. The greatest blessing of all we know is his beloved Son. He's rained down all of these gifts. And he calls us before he even said, let there be light. Before Adam and Eve had even said, no, I don't want to believe in what you say. Before that, he had chosen us to be holy and immaculate. Not in the same way of Mary, by prevenient grace from the cross of her Son at her conception before in time, but through baptism and the sacraments. What an extraordinary gift. That's the first aspect of consecration. God gives us the blessing with which we can live like Mary. The second aspect of consecration, he says, that we see in Mary's Immaculate Conception is how to respond to that every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Do we really say yes to the extraordinary gifts that God gives us? Or do we leave them as unopened presents underneath the Christmas tree of our heart? Do we actually correspond? In today's gospel, we see how Mary corresponded to that blessing. Sometimes it's very helpful for us to know Greek, because so much is missed in an English translation, because it would take so many more words to say. But when the angel comes to Mary with the words that God had placed on his lips to say, and all of heaven was waiting to hear, his first word was charis, rejoice. And then the word ke keratomene, you who have been filled with grace. He could have said Mary, or Miriam, which would have been her Hebrew name. He didn't. He named her, you who have been filled with grace. Mary's not just immaculate, meaning all the sin's been wiped away, so she's clean. She is clean precisely because she's filled with God. And when she's filled with God, which means filled with grace, there's no room for any sin left. So it wasn't like she was white. She was filled with what is totally incompatible with any sin or blemish at all. That's the every spiritual blessing in the heavens that St. Paul was talking about. What a name, what a title. Then he announces that she would be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah, and the long-awaited Messiah would be likewise the Son of God. She was at first afraid. Small little apologetic point for us to get. if we're ever talking with Protestants who want to pretend as if Mary's Immaculate Conception never happened, or that Mary, after Immaculate Conception, and after the conception of Jesus, had other children, or she wasn't perpetually virgin. Her question here was not the question of a doubt. She asked, how will this be? For I do not know man. How would I become the mother of this Messiah? She knew the birds and the bees. She knew the way children are conceived. The only reason for the question was because she was totally consecrated as a virgin over to God. Otherwise, she would have known how she would have become a mother. She was asking, is my consecration going to change? Do you want to revoke my vow of virginity and have me treat Joseph like any wife would treat a husband and conceive a child that way? What's your plan? And the archangel says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And we know the rest, that you would conceive not by man, but by the power of God. You would remain a virgin. And at the end of all of this, Mary shows the response to every spiritual blessing in the heavens. She says, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Let my whole life develop in accordance with your blessing. That's the second moment. In response to God's gift, we say, I accept, and I wish to live in accordance with your gift. Not just a little time, not just a little part of my life, not just part-time, but full-time, all my days. I really mean what I pray in the prayer your son taught me. Thy will be done, not my will be done. That's how we live in consecration of God's blessing. That's what we ask Mary's help with when we consecrate ourselves to her Immaculate Heart. So we've all got a choice to make. There's probably one person in this church tonight who was like me when I used to go on holy days of obligation when I was a teenager. Just checking the watch. Just got to fulfill the obligation, otherwise it's a mortal sin. So I'm just going to come and let's just get out of here. And what's on television tonight? Who's playing Thursday night football? What am I going to eat for dinner? All of these other types of questions. I'm just showing up and then I'm leaving. I'm fulfilling my obligation. Everything's going to be hunky-dory with God. Kaput. Maybe there's just one. But God's not going to let us off easy. On the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, are we prepared to live the real meaning of this feast and to hear what Mary will reiterate in 5 months and 5 days? That the solution to what God, Adam, and Eve is consecration or Immaculate Heart. And to make that act of entrustment tonight and mean it and seek to live it in such a way that there will be enmity between us and the devil. That we'll say, I'm not going to compromise with sin. I'm going to hate sin, including the sin to which I'm vulnerable to, with all of God. Are we going to open ourselves up to be truly filled with God as much as He wants to fill us, even if it means that we'll become a martyr for the faith, even if it means that some people will think we're a little bit too Catholic? Are we prepared to be filled with God? Are we prepared to make her son the true center of our time and our life? That's what we really mark tonight. And Mary's praying with all her maternal love that we will make that choice. Tonight, as we come forward to honor her and to thank God the Father for having chosen her to be His son's mother, and that son from the cross having chosen her to be our mother, we ask for the grace that we might consecrate ourselves to her maternal love. Live immaculate and without blemish, holy in God's sight, corresponding to every spiritual blessing in the heavens, so that the angels and the saints may be able to say about us, you too have been filled with grace. You too have been filled with God and have thereby given Him glory. And the greatest way to make this consecration is to unite ourselves with the consecration of her and God the Father's beloved Son on the altar, as we are now about to do. Thanks for coming. Praise be Jesus Christ.